A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking whether any TTS models today can actually infer prosody by understanding the meaning and emotional intent of a text and adjust their delivery accordingly. Not just sounding humanish, but genuinely reading the room. And I think the fastest way into this is a breakup letter.
A breakup letter?
Imagine an AI reading. I hope you find what you're looking for with the same flat, gently pleasant cadence it uses for your order has shipped. That's where we still are, mostly. The gap between realistic and truly expressive is the whole ballgame right now. Voice assistants, audiobooks, screen readers, all of it.
That gap is exactly what's being contested at the frontier right now. You've got models that can produce speech so natural you'd swear there's a person in the room, and then they'll read, "I'm fine," in a tone that makes it very clear they have no idea what fine actually means.
The universal human experience of fine being a grenade with the pin pulled.
And the question underneath the question is, are these models doing anything resembling understanding, or are they just really, really good at guessing which pitch contour statistically follows which sequence of words?
Before we can answer whether any model truly gets emotion, we need to get specific about what prosody actually is and how it works in human speech.
Prosody is the musicality of speech, pitch contour, duration, loudness, and pauses. It's what tells you whether "that's great" is sincere or sarcastic. It's the difference between "I didn't say she stole the money," meaning someone else said it, versus meaning she borrowed it, versus meaning she took something else. Seven different meanings from the same seven words, all carried by which word you stress.
The classic example. And prosody is doing enormous semantic heavy lifting constantly. In English, we signal questions with rising intonation at the end. We signal sarcasm with exaggerated pitch range, or a flat delivery that's conspicuously wrong for the words. We use pauses to bracket causes and signal turn-taking. None of this is in the words themselves.
Here's the thing. Prosody isn't optional decoration, it's load-bearing. Studies going back decades show that when prosody is stripped out or flattened, comprehension drops and listener fatigue spikes. For accessibility tools, this isn't a nice-to-have. It's the difference between a screen reader that conveys information and one that conveys meaning.
The core question is, can a model infer all of that from semantic and syntactic cues alone, or does it need explicit prosodic labels or speaker demonstrations to get it right?
That question splits the TTS world into two broad camps. On one side, you've got rule-based prosody prediction, systems that use annotation frameworks like TOBI, which stands for tones and break indices, where linguists manually label pitch accents, phrase boundaries, and break strength. The model then maps those labels to acoustic features. It's explicit, it's controllable, and it's about as flexible as a concrete block.
Because you have to predict the labels first, which means you need a model that can assign prosodic structure to text it's never seen before. And that's basically the same problem all over again.
Precisely the problem. Which brings us to the second camp, end-to-end neural models that learn prosody implicitly from data. These systems don't have a separate prosody prediction module. They just map text directly to speech, and the prosody emerges from the statistical patterns in the training data.
That's where the philosophical question lives. If a model learns that, "I'm so excited," is usually followed by higher pitch and faster speech rate. Is that inference, or is it just a very sophisticated echo?
That's the tension we're going to spend this episode unpacking, and I think the honest answer is going to make some people uncomfortable. Let's get precise about what inferring emotional intent actually means in a machine learning context, because it's one of those phrases that sounds intuitive until you try to pin it down.
It's the kind of phrase that belongs on a product page, and melts the moment you look at it directly.
In human terms, inferring emotional intent means I read your words, I model your mental state, and I adjust my delivery to match what I think you meant. There's theory of mind in there, there's shared cultural context. If you text me, "I'm fine," after an argument, I know you're not fine because I know you, I know the context, and I know how humans use language.
The full stack of being a person who's been yelled at before.
In a machine learning context, none of that is happening. What's happening is the model has seen millions of examples where certain word sequences co-occur with certain acoustic features in the training data. I'm devastated. Tends to come with slower speech, lower pitch, longer pauses. That's incredible. Tends to come with expanded pitch range and faster rate. The model learns those correlations. But it has no model of devastation or incredulity as experiences.
The word infer is doing a lot of heavy lifting that it maybe hasn't earned.
It's doing bench press with a foam barbell. And this matters because it sets expectations. When a company says their TTS model infers emotion from text, most people hear the model understands how the speaker feels. What the model is actually doing is statistical prosody prediction conditioned on lexical and syntactic features.
Which is still impressive. But it's impressive the way a chess engine is impressive, not the way a therapist is impressive.
That's the distinction. And it brings us back to those two camps I mentioned, rule-based versus end-to-end. The rule-based approach, using something like Toby Eye Annotation, makes no pretense of understanding. It says, we will explicitly label the prosodic structure, the pitch accents, the phrase breaks, and then synthesize from those labels. The upside is control and transparency. The downside is you need to predict the labels from text, which is itself a hard problem, and the output tends to sound precise but lifeless.
Like a GPS giving you turn-by-turn directions to a funeral.
The end-to-end neural models flip this entirely. They don't label anything. They just ingest thousands of hours of speech and learn the mapping from text to waveform directly. The prosody that emerges can be remarkably natural because it's learned from real human speech patterns, not from a linguist's annotation scheme. But you give up control. You can't tell the model stress this word or pause here for effect unless you build in separate conditioning mechanisms.
That tension between control and naturalness is basically the entire history of TTS in miniature.
It really is. And the question the prompt is asking sits right in the middle of it. Is there a model that bridges the gap? That infers prosody from meaning rather than just pattern matching. We're going to spend the rest of this episode looking at exactly where the current models land on that spectrum. How do today's models actually handle this? Let's pop the hood on the architecture. The transformer-based systems, Vol-E, BARC, Meta's VoiceBox 2 from last May, they approach prosody through attention mechanisms. And attention, at its core, is about correlation across distance.
Meaning the model can look at a word and weigh everything around it. Not just the word next to it, but words 5, 10, 15 positions away, when deciding how to say it.
In a sentence like, I didn't say she stole the money, when the model is deciding how to produce the word she, the attention mechanism is simultaneously looking at didn't, at stole, at money, and learning that certain combinations of these words in certain orders correlate with certain stress patterns. It's not understanding the accusation. It's learning that when didn't and stole appear together, human speakers in the training data tend to place contrastive stress somewhere in that neighborhood.
Attention is the mechanism that lets context shape delivery. But the context it's using is still just text patterns.
And this is where the distinction between different architectural approaches gets interesting. Take Fast Speech 2 and Tachotron 2. These models have dedicated prosody encoders. They explicitly predict duration, pitch, and energy contours from text embeddings. So they're not just hoping prosody emerges, they're building a separate prediction pipeline for it.
Those predictions are trained on ground truth prosody from the dataset, not inferred from meaning.
That's the crucial point. The prosody encoder in Fast Speech 2 is trained to match the actual pitch contour, the actual duration, the actual energy of the human speaker in the training recording. It's supervised learning against acoustic measurements. So when it gets good at predicting that I'm so excited should have a high pitch range and fast rate, it's not because it understands excitement. It's because it learned to minimize the error between its prediction and the real recording of someone saying, I'm so excited, with high pitch and fast rate.
It's a very sophisticated mirror.
A mirror with millions of parameters. And to be fair, the mirroring is remarkably good. These models capture prosodic patterns that rule-based systems missed entirely. The way pitch drifts downward over the course of a long sentence, the micro-pauses that signal clause boundaries, the subtle lengthening of vowels before a major syntactic break.
The mirror only reflects what was in the training data. If the training data is mostly neutral narrative speech, the mirror is neutral. If it's acted emotional speech, the mirror over-emotes. The mirror doesn't know what emotion is.
Which brings us to the newer wave, what some papers call semantic prosody inference. Models like Google's Audio LM and Microsoft's VAL-E 2, which came out in late 2025, take a different approach. They use discrete audio codecs, essentially turning audio into a sequence of tokens, like a language model sees text tokens, and then they model those audio tokens conditioned on semantic tokens derived from the text.
Instead of predicting pitch and duration as separate features, they're modeling the entire acoustic space as a sequence prediction problem.
And the semantic tokens are interesting because they capture something closer to meaning than traditional text embeddings do. They're derived from self-supervised speech models that learn representations where semantically similar words are close together in the embedding space, even if they sound different acoustically.
The model can potentially learn that I'm devastated and I'm heartbroken should have similar prosodic delivery, even if those exact phrases never appeared with those exact emotional contours in the training data.
That's the promise. And there's some evidence it works. The University of Edinburgh study from 2025 tested VAL-E2 on contrastive stress, sentences where the meaning changes depending on which word is emphasized. The model got it right 73% of the time. That's impressive for a system that has no explicit prosody labels.
73% also means it got it wrong 27% of the time. And on emotionally ambiguous phrases, it failed 40% of the time.
That 40% is where the whole understanding claim collapses. Take, that's great. The Edinburgh study found that in sarcastic contexts, the model almost always defaulted to the sincere delivery. Because in the training data, that's great, is sincere far more often than it's sarcastic. The model learned the statistical majority case, not the meaning.
Which is exactly what you'd expect from a system doing pattern matching without understanding. Sarcasm requires knowing that the literal meaning and the intended meaning are opposed. That's theory of mind territory. A model that only sees correlations between words and pitch contours has no access to that.
This is the critical limitation I keep coming back to. These models are fundamentally statistical. They learn that I'm so excited is often followed by high pitch and fast rate. They learn that I'm devastated is often followed by slow rate and low pitch, but they don't understand excitement or devastation as concepts. They have no internal model of what those emotional states are, what causes them, how they feel.
The model knows the shape of excitement, but not the weight of it.
That's beautifully put, and it matters because when the model encounters something it hasn't seen before, a novel emotional expression, an unusual combination of words and intent, it has to fall back on the nearest statistical neighbor. Sometimes that works. Sometimes you get a breakup letter read like a shipping notification.
The honest answer to whether these models infer prosody from meaning is, they infer it the way a weather model infers tomorrow's temperature. It's prediction from batons, not comprehension from understanding. The output can be stunningly accurate, but the process has nothing to do with meaning in any human sense.
I want to be careful here not to dismiss the engineering achievement. What VAL-E2 and Audio LM do with semantic tokens is a genuine advance over the previous generation. The fact that they can capture emotional tone from word choice and sentence structure without explicit prosody labels is remarkable. It's just not understanding.
It's the difference between a student who memorized the textbook and a student who can explain the concepts in their own words. Both can pass the test. Only one can handle a question that wasn't in the book. The textbook student passes the test until you hand them a sentence like, "I guess that's fine."
Oh, that's a perfect stress test, and there's actually a direct comparison worth looking at. OpenAI's TTS from 2024 versus Cartesia's Sonic from last year, both given, "I guess that's fine." The OpenAI model delivered it with a neutral, slightly upbeat cadence, the statistical majority case. Sonic, which was trained on a much wider distribution of conversational speech, leaned into the hesitation. It elongated "guess," inserted a micro pause before "fine," and dropped the pitch slightly at the end. It sounded resigned.
Two models, same text, completely different prosodic choices. Neither one understood the emotion. They just had different training distributions.
That's where the dataset problem becomes central. Most of these models are trained on audiobook datasets. LibreTTS is the big one, about 5 OD5 hours of speech. Audiobook narration is a specific prosodic style. It's expressive, but it's narrative expressive. The reader is telling you a story, not feeling the emotions in real time. Conversational emotional expression is messier, more variable, less predictable.
If you train on LibreTTS, you get a model that sounds like someone reading to you, which is great for audiobooks, terrible for a customer service bot that needs to sound like it's actually listening.
Flip it around, though. Train on something like RAVDES-S, the Ryerson Audio-Visual Database of Emotional Speech and Song, which is acted emotional speech. Actors performing I'm So Angry with exaggerated pitch contours and dramatic pauses. Then your model over-emotes. It sounds like community theater.
Which might actually be worse than sounding flat. A flat customer service bot is annoying. A customer service bot that sounds like it's performing outrage at your missing package is surreal.
This is exactly the bind. The dataset shapes the prosodic range, and most datasets don't match the deployment context. So developers end up trying to fix this with what's called prosody grounding, using auxiliary tasks to condition the prosody prediction on something more intentional than raw text.
Grounding meaning you bolt on a separate system that tries to figure out the emotion, and then feed that guess into the TTS model.
Amazon did exactly this with their Polly update in 2025. They added a lightweight sentiment classifier that runs on the input text before synthesis. It classifies the sentence as positive, negative, or neutral, and then adjusts the pitch range and speaking rate accordingly. Positive sentiment gets a wider pitch range and slightly faster rate. Negative gets narrower pitch and slower rate.
It's a mood ring taped to the front of a TTS engine.
A mood ring with an API. And it does improve things for clear-cut cases. I'm thrilled to help you today. Gets an appropriate lift. I'm sorry for the inconvenience. Gets the right downward contour. But the moment the text is ambiguous, the classifier guesses, and the TTS model amplifies the guess.
Which brings us to 11 Labs and their emotion-aware mode from January.
This is the most explicit example of the control versus inference trade-off in a shipping product. 11 Labs built a 12-class emotion classifier. Happy, sad, angry, fearful, surprised, disgusted, and several gradations that scans the input text and predicts the emotional category. Then the TTS model modulates prosody based on that prediction. But here's the revealing part. They still require the user to confirm the detected emotion before synthesis.
They don't trust their own classifier.
They built a system to infer emotion from text, and then they built a confirmation dialog box on top of it because they know the inference is unreliable. That's not a design flourish. That's an acknowledgement of the fundamental limitation. The model is guessing, and they want a human to take responsibility for the guess.
It's the, are you sure you want to send this email of speech synthesis?
The consequences of getting it wrong aren't trivial. There was a user study published earlier this year on a customer service chatbot using 11 Labs Emotion-Aware TTS. They found that 22% of neutral customer queries were delivered with a frustrated tone. The model read something like, I've been waiting for my order for 3 days, and classified it as angry, so it responded with a tense, clipped delivery. Customers interpreted this as the company being annoyed at them.
The model's attempt at empathy created hostility. That's almost poetic.
It's the amplification problem. A neutral email read with a hint of passive-aggressive prosody becomes a passive-aggressive message. The TTS doesn't just transmit the text, it adds an emotional frame that the sender never intended.
Which means the better these models get at inferring emotion, the more carefully we have to think about when inference is even desirable. If I type, please review the attached document, I probably don't want the model deciding I'm frustrated and delivering it like a veiled threat.
This is where the design question gets really interesting. Do we want TTS models to infer emotion at all for neutral text? Or should emotion be an opt-in feature, something the user explicitly requests when they know the intended tone?
The audiobook use case wants inference. The business communication use case might want the opposite.
In an audiobook, the narrator is supposed to interpret the text and bring it to life. Inference is the whole job. In a screen reader, the user may have a specific emotional intent that the model can't possibly know. A blind user reading a sarcastic message to themselves might want to hear the sarcasm, or might want to hear it neutrally and infer the tone themselves. The model shouldn't make that choice unilaterally.
We're back to control versus naturalness, but now with higher stakes. The more natural the inference, the more the model is making interpretive choices on behalf of the user. The more control you give the user, the more the output sounds constructed rather than spoken.
I think this is where the whole can models infer prosody from meaning. Question reaches its practical conclusion. The answer is, they can infer statistical prosodic patterns that correlate with meaning, often impressively well. But they can't understand meaning, so they can't be trusted to make the right inference when it matters. Which means, for any application where the emotional frame carries weight, you need a human in the loop, either through explicit emotion tags, SSML markup, or speaker demonstrations.
The model can suggest a reading. It can't commit to one.
Even calling it a suggestion is generous. It's a statistical best guess from a distribution that may not match your use case. The Edinburgh study's 40% failure rate on ambiguous phrases isn't a bug to be fixed with more data. It's a fundamental property of trying to extract emotional intent from text alone without understanding the speaker, the context, the relationship, or the subtext.
Which means the honest answer to the prompt is, no, TTS models don't infer prosody by intelligently understanding meaning and emotional intent. They infer it by sophisticated pattern matching. The distinction isn't academic. It's the difference between a tool and a collaborator.
If you're building something that needs emotional nuance, a voice assistant for mental health, an audiobook narrator, a character in a game, what do you actually do? The first actionable thing is, don't trust pure text inference. Use explicit prosody control, SSML tags, emotion parameters, or speaker reference clips, something where a human made a choice.
SSML is the safety scissors of emotional TTS. Not elegant, but you won't cut yourself.
It's clunky, but it's deterministic. If you tag a sentence as sad with a reduced pitch range and slower rate in SSML, you get sad. You might not get a nuanced, heartbreakingly authentic sad, but you won't get accidentally furious either.
The reference clip approach, providing a short audio sample of the delivery you want. That's the middle ground. You're not labeling emotions. You're saying like this. The model pattern matches against your sample instead of its training distribution.
Second practical point, test your models on ambiguous sentences, sarcasm, understatement, rhetorical questions. I'm sure that'll work out. What could possibly go wrong? If the model can't handle these, it's not inferring prosody. It's regurgitating the most common training pattern. And most models will fail on at least some of these.
Every TTS evaluation should include a sarcasm battery. That's just good engineering.
It's cheap to run and brutally revealing. The Edinburgh study gave us a framework. Compare performance on syntactically marked emotional sentences versus emotionally ambiguous ones. The gap between those numbers is your model's actual semantic inference capability. If it's large, you're looking at pattern matching.
If you're building accessibility tools, screen readers especially, the calculus flips entirely. Inferred prosody might actively harm the user. A blind person reading an email that says, "We need to talk," doesn't need the model deciding it sounds ominous. They need the option to hear it neutrally and make their own judgment.
The best screen reader TTS models right now let users adjust prosody parameters directly, speaking rate, pitch baseline, pitch variation. Some even let you toggle between expressive and neutral modes. That's the right design. The model offers, the user decides.
Which is the through line here? The model can suggest a reading. It can't commit to one, so don't build systems that treat the suggestion as authoritative unless you've got a human in the loop somewhere.
If you don't have a human in the loop, at least build a confirmation dialog box. 11 Labs learned that lesson the hard way. Here's what I keep coming back to. Even with better classifiers, even with multimodal input, we're still solving the wrong problem if the goal is, the model understands what I meant. The real question is whether we want machines making interpretive emotional choices on our behalf at all.
Or whether the entire framing of inference from meaning is a category error. We're asking a statistical system to do something that requires a theory of mind. The model doesn't know I'm being sarcastic because it doesn't know I exist.
Which brings us to the next frontier people are actually working on, multimodal prosody. Models that don't just read text, but also see the speaker's face, facial expression, gesture, posture. If I'm recording a video and my TTS avatar needs to match my delivery, the visual channel gives the model something closer to ground truth about my emotional state.
Instead of inferring emotion from words alone, the model correlates my raised eyebrow and my flat tone, and figures out I'm doing deadpan. That's a different problem entirely. It's measurement, not inference.
It might be the bridge. Not the model understands me, but the model has more signals about what I intended. Multimodal prosody doesn't solve the understanding problem, it just gives the pattern matcher richer patterns.
Which is honest, at least. The model isn't pretending to get my emotional state from my word choice. It's reading my face like everyone else in the room.
There's a group at Carnegie Mellon working on exactly this. Gesture-informed prosody for virtual avatars. Early results show significant improvement on ambiguous sentences when the model has video context. But it still fails when the facial expression and the words are deliberately mismatched. Deadpan sarcasm, basically.
The poker face of emotional TTS.
That failure is instructive. It tells us the ceiling isn't about better models. It's about the fact that emotional communication is fundamentally multi-layered and sometimes intentionally contradictory. No amount of training data resolves that.
Maybe the goal isn't perfect inference at all. Maybe the goal is giving users the tools to shape prosody themselves, democratizing expressive speech rather than automating it.
That's the provocative thought to land on. What if the best TTS system isn't the one that guesses your emotion correctly, but the one that makes it trivially easy for you to specify it? A few knobs, a reference clip, a mood slider, and the model executes, no guessing required.
The model as instrument, not interpreter.
We've seen versions of this work. Voice actors use TTS tools with fine-grained prosody controls and get remarkable results. The magic isn't the automation, it's the controllability.
The answer to whether models can infer prosody by understanding meaning is no. And the more interesting answer is that we might not want them to. The future of expressive TTS might be less about smarter inference and more about better interfaces for human intent.
Give people the knobs, they'll find the emotion.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early Renaissance, Icelandic manuscripts described ice caves formed by volcanic heat interacting with glacial meltwater, creating crystalline walls of exceptionally pure hexagonal ice, essentially a giant natural distillation system.
I have no idea what to do with that.
None of us do.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for that and for everything else. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you're building something with TTS, give people the knobs.
They'll find the emotion.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.